Couple of great local stories today. The Esperance Basketball Stadium is on the way. Construction will begin in the next few months. You'll find out when it finishes, that construction period, towards the end of the catch-up. Also had sport with Smook, Dan the Surfman, Surf Report with a twist, and a couple other local stories. Murals being painted around Esperance, as well as what weird things have you found in your fridge. It's coming up. Enjoy your Monday. Triple M.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast. Feels good.
You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate on Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 747 Triple M. That song released in 1975 originally off Hot Chocolate's self-titled album. It's a cracker. And around town you may have noticed a bit of splash of colour. That's because we've got two new murals in town. Murals, however you say that. Matt Adnate is a Victorian spray paint artist. He's an Indigenous man who's flown over to complete the two projects. One is on the wall of the Red Cross building. I haven't been to see that one yet. I have seen, however, the Western Wall of Dempster Hair and Beauty and the spectacular painting that's on there right now. It's a depiction of the late Mr. Tom Bullen, who played a key role in getting the native title claim in the Esperance Noongar region 23 years ago. And this spray paint art is phenomenally detailed. This is a 10 to 15 metre high building that he's painting on. He covers it all. Matt Adnate, the man painting, uses his phone as a guide to get this detail. And I watched him the other day. He's got his little spray cans. And he's just a little flick here, a little flick there. And all of a sudden, wow, there's his cheekbones. It's amazing. Get down there if you can. It's on the Esplanade on the Western Wall of Dempster Hair and Beauty. I love it when we have these projects. A little bit of colour, a little bit of magic added to our town. This is Creedence on the Other Side, a tribute to April Fool's Day and Under the Lino. Or will there be? Have I fooled you? No, it's definitely happening. Next year's work.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast. Feels good.
That's Toto, Hold the Line. One of the few times that band haven't had an outro which goes for about a minute. You listen to Sean for Breakfast. Esperance is 747 Triple M, and I need your input this morning on 132710. I want to know, what is the weirdest thing you've seen kept in the fridge? I've seen Vegemite in there, which is plain wacky. Crazy. I've seen ketchup in there, and there's a big debate. Should ketchup be kept in the pantry in the warm room temperature, or perhaps in the fridge, although the packaging does say in the fridge? So I've conceded defeat on that argument years ago. But what about lollies? Allen's lollies, to be precise. Allen's Snakes Alive. Would you keep that in the fridge? Of course not, because you're sane. But I did see on the weekend a person who likes to have their lollies nice and cold and hard. And the best way to do that is to keep them in the top shelf of the fridge. I posted a photo of it on the Triple M Esperance Facebook page. So jump on there and join in the conversation, or give me a call, 132710. When have you gone to a fridge, a mate, perhaps a distant relative? When have you peered into their fridge and looked at them and said, are you drunk, or what's going on there? Why have you kept that in there? Why is your bread being kept in the fridge? Or why do you have salt and pepper shakers in the shelf of your fridge? Let me know, 132710. What is the most bizarre thing you've spied in another person's fridge? I want it to be revealed today on the Triple M Esperance Breakfast Show. I want to hear it all, because information is power. This is the Fine Young Cannibals. Coming up next, Dan the Surfman's on the show with a surf report with a twist this morning. Triple M.
Across Esperance. Sean for breakfast. Feels good. Dan the Surfman, surf report.
And that's right, a bit of a twist this morning because we've got Dan the Surfman, but he's not in Esperance right now. Mate, where are you? What are you doing?
Hey, Sean. Mate, I'm in Perth.
Oh, what are you doing there?
Oh, just got some professional development days and catching up with a few family and friends, and yes, got a dental appointment as well.
What do you reckon? Got a couple of fillings on the way?
I'm fixing up a tooth that needed to be fixed up.
Okay, well, we won't get into that. Let's get into the surf. What's it like in Perth at the moment?
It's Absolutely dead flat, mate. Dead flat, not a wave in sight.
Oh, gosh. So what
the water is a lot warmer. So I went for swim down at Scarborough yesterday, and it was about 2 degrees warmer than Esperance, I reckon. I don't think Esperance water's that cold, to be honest, besides when it gets winter. But that was the first time I went, wow, there is a proper 2 to 3 degree difference in the water temperature.
I jumped in yesterday at Blue Haven and it was nippy. My nipples were standing on end. Now this is when my training comes into practice here. So I've got the wind report up, Willy Weather, for the Esperance. So northerly winds this morning and actually for most of the morning. So if you want to get out, if you've got some time, do it now if you can. Southerly winds on Tuesday, don't bother. East to northeasterlies on Wednesday morning, so maybe?
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Great, okay. And then Thursday is rubbish and Friday is rubbish. So Wednesday is the pick of the week. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon you're spot on. Wednesday and this morning. Oh, very good.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty bland. You were not going to say spot on, didn't you?
I had it all. Yeah, I thought I would. I had a little bit of an inkling. Been speaking to Dan, the surf man in Perth this morning, mate. Good luck with your tooth.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And get out there and tell me how it is.
The animals are up next. You're listening to Triple M.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
The Cars on Sean for Breakfast, Esperance at 7:47 Triple M, as we approach 20 minutes to 8 o'clock this Monday morning. And you know what Mondays are like. There's so much chat about the football from the weekend around the water cooler. It's the main topic of conversation. And to help you out with that convo, I've got Smook, the man for the job. He's going to talk sport with me this morning. And Smook, the Eagles, as I predicted with my tips, they bounce back with a strong performance at home.
And played better at home, they did. It was a pretty sluggish start after the flag unfurling, which if you've seen on the TV across the weekend, was very impressive, involving a backflip from a mascot off a 70-metre grandstand, followed by a live eagle sitting on the cuff. So it all started well for the Eagles. And unfortunately, the first half didn't quite go that way. It was pretty sluggish. And Lachie Whitfield for the Giants was everywhere. He was just tearing us apart through the middle and half back. But they came out after half time and led by Luke Shuey, who was everywhere, kicked a couple of rippers and really got his hands on the footy. And Dom Sheed again was pretty impressive. It was 14-6 after quarter time, and the Eagles ran away by 52 points. The big fella Jack Darling kicked himself four, and the young kid Oscar Allen in just his fourth game also managed three. So it was a pretty nice spread across the board and a nice response from a really disappointing outing against Brisbane the previous week.
The backs did look better. I think the backs looked like a bit of a shambles last weekend. I think Cole stepped up a little bit. Liam Duggan had a pretty good game as well, as that sort of springboard from the back line. Yeah, they took a while to warm up, but I think when you come to Optus Stadium, you want to be 2 or 3 goals up at halftime at least, and then hold on to that in the third quarter and hope that when the Eagles do come at you, then you've got a little bit left in the petrol tank to keep going.
Absolutely right, Sean.
They come hard, and they you can bleed goals easy at Optus. It's just bang, bang, bang. They're still playing that really long kicking style, which worked really well in the second half.
Yeah, certainly did. And you touched on the defenders there. McGovern, I think, had 11 intercept marks again. Barras picked up onto his grand final form. And yeah, the man you mentioned, I was particularly impressed with, Liam Duggan. He's just sort of, him and Tom Cole are the quiet achievers of that back six, but they've become really important players and they get that run and drive. And Duggan takes a really good contested mark for his size as well. And the other man I was impressed with, who was very disappointing first up against Brisbane, was Tom Hickey. Now, he looked like he was a crippled man at St Kilda. He had career-threatening injuries that he couldn't get over and looked like an amateur ruckman at times. And he strolls out this week and has 20 hit-outs, 18 touches, 8 marks, kicked a goal. And he looked like the man the Eagles have been crying out for to help fill that void.
Yeah.
After Nat Noy's injury and Lysette's departure.
Yeah, Scotty Triceps. Do you reckon you'd have Scotty Tricep back just quickly?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
He was pretty handy through the grand final and in the back half of last year.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
That's the Turtles on Sean for Breakfast. It's 7:45. We're talking sport this morning, and yesterday afternoon, the Freo Dockers went to the Gold Coast and they couldn't come home with the chocolates. They started well but ran out of gas basically towards the end of the game. It was great to see Jack Martin, a West Australian product, and the Gold Coast captain David Swallow, another West Australian boy, finish off with goals to beat the Dockers. Smirk, what is your take on this game?
I really love seeing a captain's goal, Sean, and Swallow bagging that one through with about 3 minutes to go and then them holding on was really good to see. And as you mentioned, Gold Coast did everything they could to lose this game. 19 behinds in a match of footy is probably unacceptable, I'd say, in a professional game of football.
And a lot of really gettable shots from good players as well. Alex Sexton missed he doesn't miss usually. He missed one. Yeah, it was hard to watch.
It was ugly. It wasn't the prettiest game you'll ever watch all season. I think all the hype going into it was about Jesse Hogan and his return, and he was serviceable. He had 21 touches, I think, and better players for the Dockers, Sean. I thought Brad Hill was really good, and he's often criticised, harshly, I think, but he had 32 touches, and his rebound was beautiful to watch. And the big fella, Nat Fyfe, was very solid again through the middle. And Ed Langdon, I thought he was pretty serviceable running through the middle as well.
Yeah, it was the only thing that really bothered me is that they lost that, they didn't have that spark. Like at the Kangaroos, it was play on, get it and go. They really looked like they were running across the ground. Whereas on Sunday evening at the Gold Coast in the party town of Australia, yeah, they just looked slow.
You know what they say, Sean? It's a pretty difficult road trip to go up the Metricon and bring the 4 points home.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
It's a common saying up on the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast proved that again. They stood tall. They probably would have thought they should have won in round one against St Kilda, and they would have been having nightmares that it was going to happen again because they absolutely deserved to win. But they stuck it out, and in the end, there was the final inside 50 for Freo and a big contested mark from Sam Collins, who Fremantle delisted 2 years ago. So that's probably a little bit of irony that he wasn't good enough, in Ross Lyon's opinion, to get a game in their side, and he's come back and saved the day. He went back to the VFL last year and won the JJ Liston as the best player in the competition and got his second chance up on the Gold Coast, and he's firing at the moment.
Yeah, I still wonder if he'd make that Dockers team because their backline is actually okay. Just before I let you go, the AFLW, great result yesterday in terms of the crowd turnout, and the Crows, they absolutely romped it in. A sad entry, though.
Yeah, it was a really impressive performance from Adelaide. This one was over before half time.
It was over before the game began. They have dominated the season, the Crows, from about when the Dockers went up to Darwin and played them. From then, they have not missed a beat. They've been absolutely domineering across the comp. Yeah, sad that their star skipper went down, though.
Yeah, Aaron Phillips went down clutching a knee in the third quarter, Sean. And as soon as it happened, you just got that sick feeling because you could tell she's done her ACL. And it wasn't the only ACL in the match, unfortunately. That's a topic for another conversation because ACL injuries seem to be becoming more and more common in the women's game at the moment, which is troubling. But she was sensational, Erin Phillips, the skipper. 18 touches and 2 goals before she went off, and she still managed to take out the Best on Ground award as well.
Wow. And a bright future as well for the AFLW with 53,000, I believe, rocking up to the game. Now, it was free entry, but still, to get that many, considering a lot of times it's only a few thousand of these games, is an amazing result.
To put it into context, Sean, there was only one NRL game last year that had more people than what were at this AFLW grand final, and that was the NRL grand final. So 53,000 people showing up to Adelaide Oval, it's far more than they expected, but that's where this game is going. The people of Australia are jumping on board, and as well they should. The product's getting a lot better, and it got a lot of criticism early on, but this was always going to be the way. It was going to take a little bit of time, but the skills on display now and the class and the hard hits, everything about it is going in the right direction.
And anyone that is sceptical about the AFLW, even if you think the standard is poor, get around it, start to support it because it is only good for the AFL game. If we can nurture that, get this product up there, get as many girls and women and ladies playing, it's only good. So put aside your cynicism and get around it next year, and hopefully the AFL can do the same.
Very well said, Tom. I couldn't have put it better. That's exactly what we need to do.
And that's what we'll leave it on. A strong message from myself. I've been speaking to Smook this morning. Sport with Smook. Thanks, mate.
All the best, Sean.
Waking up has never felt so good. Sean for breakfast.
That is Diana Ross and Chain Reaction, a song which was originally written by the Bee Gees. It was released in 1985. You're on Sean for Breakfast, Estimates is 747 Triple M. And a lot of people from around town will say it's a long time coming, but we're a step closer to having a brand spanking new indoor sports stadium. The tender was awarded last week to Symes Building, which is a local company. Great news. This is the Shire Deputy President, Natalie Bowman, speaking last week.
We were funded to provide a minimum of a three-court stadium. However, we're aware as a community that we are growing and sport is really important to this community. So we asked the tenderers to provide us with a four-court stadium option as well, because we wanted, as a council, to look further ahead than just what we need right now. And so the decision from councillors last night was unanimous to go ahead and award the tender to Symes Building Company to build a four-court stadium. And the fact that it's gone to a local company who has won the tender in a very competitive field, which included people from outside of WA as well as outside of Esperance, is just great news.
Natalie Bowman, the Deputy Shire President, speaking there. And yes, it is really great news. A four-court stadium. Construction will begin in the next few months, and they're expecting to finish it by 2020. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's a year. What about our basketball and netball and volleyball and all the rest of it? Well, the actual existing stadium won't be touched. So it's going to be built in that car park area, pretty close to that road that runs adjacent to the Squash Club and the Bay of Isles Leisure Centre. They still need to hash out some details with the Esperance Netball Club. A few representatives from that club have been asked to come back to the Shire and add some input into the idea. As she said before, it's a local business, which is great news. This gets federal funding as well as state funding. That's money spent in our town and community, which is great stuff. It did take a long time, but thank goodness it's coming. This is Van Morrison on the other side. Labor Party, they want electric cars for all businesses. Triple M, you'll hear it next.
Across Esperance, Sean for Breakfast.
The Beatles and Help on Sean for Breakfast. Estimates is 747 Triple M. And Rex, our local airline down here, have been very, very sneaky. You know that community fare which you can access either 24 hours before you fly or perhaps 90 days in advance before you fly as well? That usually sits at about $128. They've increased it in the last week to $139. That's a $10 increase, which doesn't seem like much, but for a return trip, $20. I mean, that's a sausage roll and a drink right there. I mean, that's a couple of those, a couple of lunches. Now, the reason why it's a little bit controversial isn't because it's just a random $20 increase. Like, it doesn't change anything to their operations or anything like that. The reason why it is so controversial is they made the proposal to the Shire about a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now. The Shire came back and said, we will allow you to have that increase so long as you increase the contract for another 6 months. So then we could access this community fare for another 6 months, as well as we wanted a promise, a guarantee that you'd improve your customer service. There's been a number of incidents, especially in Perth, where customers have felt let down, felt stranded after delayed or cancelled flights. Now, Rex didn't get back to the Shire. They didn't confirm anything with them. They didn't say they'd do anything. They just increased the fare. I asked the Esperance Shire for comment, and they said, look, we're just as perplexed as you guys are. They're trying to get in contact with Rex. I'm trying to get in contact with Rex as well. I'll bring you more to the story later in the week, because it is odd. It's kind of a bit annoying, to be honest with you. But hey, I'll give you more on that story later as it all comes to light. Coming up for you, some more classic Triple M hits to take you to 9 o'clock, including Gary Wright and Bruce Springsteen. The Boss is next on Triple M.
Sean for Breakfast catch-up on Triple M.
Bye-bye. Have a good time.
Listen to Sean for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.